This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is sponsored by BTC, CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. Listen to me. I'm loving this Christmas season, but boy, I'm tired. Oh man, am I tired? I'm tired. But I'm loving it. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. All right. So I have a proposition for yourselves. As we continue to have this dialogue around FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, and all the strange things happening around there. And actually, Sam Bankman-Fried's present housing arrangement is going to feature in this scenario that I want to paint for you around cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrencies. I hear lots of people say, oh, you can't regulate it, or you could regulate it, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And I say that most people who are commenting on cryptocurrency are probably coming at it from maybe, or let's put it like this, are not probably coming at it from an economics point of view. Economics concerns itself with the production of goods and services, the distribution of goods and services, and the consumption of goods and services. Why do people produce what they produce? Why do they pay with the price that they pay? Why do they produce the amount that they produce? How do people distribute what they produce? And why do they distribute it that way? And what is the decision making around their choosing to distribute it that way? Why do people consume this product and not that product? Why do they consume this amount of product and not that amount of product? Why do they prefer to do it now at that price versus later at another price? All kinds of queries around the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services by people. I don't think that when I listen to the dialogue around cryptocurrency, it is heavily centered on the technological features of the currency and around the, in quote, digital realities of it. So they say, oh, you know, it's out there in the blockchain sphere. Who's going to be able to regulate that? Okay, fair enough. But I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. If you and I existed in a world, and in that world, we decided to create something, let's call it rock. It's just rock, rock, rock. And we decide that whatever I need from you, I will give you a rock for it. And whatever you need from me, you give me a rock for it. And others could be invited into the same scenario. And all of us are only going to use rock for whatever we want. So you want to buy land, you just decide I want to give you 10,000 rocks. We could create the rock digitally. You don't have to have actual physical rock, so you don't have to carry that around. We could just have a digital rock. And so if I need some clothing from you, I could just pay you 100 rocks. And whatever we need amongst ourselves in terms of goods and services, we just pay with the rocks. We never, ever use fiat money. No US dollar, no Bahamian dollar. No, we just use rocks, our, end quote, digital rocks. If we did that, never touching fiat money, no one, if you want to buy into our rock economy, you have to bring some good or service that is going to give you rocks in exchange because somebody created the rock. And if we continue to do that, what would be the problem? What fraud could be created by a system where we agreed amongst ourselves that we are going to buy and sell our products and services between us using our rocks, even digital rocks? What could be the problem with that? What could go wrong with that? Especially if you can't just willy-nilly produce rock. Because the rock is created in a way in which there is a certain amount of rock, and when the more rocks are created, everybody is fully aware and knowledgeable of the same, and everybody knows where every rock is, and every rock is verified by everybody else in our group. What could go wrong in that scenario? Why would the country, why would the government have any concern about us trading for products and services, haircuts, massages, exercise services, vehicle services, all of these things agreed amongst ourselves we are paying for in rock? We are never using US dollars, never using Bahamian dollars, never using euros. We just use our rock, even if it's digital rock. In that scenario, what could go wrong? And what could go wrong that would cause the government to be concerned? What could go wrong in a scenario like that? I say to you, absolutely nothing that didn't only concern y'all. Nothing. If you thief my stuff, like you, I send you stuff, but you don't give me no rocks. Who business that is? Right? You want to go sue me? You want to go to the police station and say I stole it from you? Okay, fine. Let police investigate. But why would the state have a concern about that if fiat money is never used, never touched, never enters the scenario? What could be wrong? What would be the problem? I can't see it. Let me explain something to you. That same system that I just talked about is practiced in prison systems all around the world practically every day, where they're using, instead of rocks, they use cigarettes. In some places. In other places, like tuna, as some people told me, sardine, mackerel, whatever they use, instead of rocks. Fellas say, oh, I need a shirt, a new shirt. Oh, I need a something. Somebody gets them it and they get some cigarettes. How does the government get concerned about that? What is, you're not using fiat money, no US dollars, no Bahamian dollars are trading. Why would I be concerned? Where would there be a concern around that? Somebody tell me. Somebody said that's bartering. Well, it's not bartering It's not bartering, because bartering involves an exchange of product for product, or product for service, or service for product. In this instance, you're actually using something in between for money as a medium of exchange. That's what the cigarette is. That's what the rock is. It's a medium of exchange, just like money, just like the BS dollar, just the US dollar, except you're not using state-issued currency. You're just using your own group-created medium of exchange, your rock, your cigarette, your tuna, your mackerel, whatever you use. So it's not bartering. Straight up bartering is, I need a chicken, you need rice, I give you rice, you give me chicken. That's bartering. Okay, it's very clumsy, very inefficient. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about actually using something other than fiat currency as the medium of exchange. What could go wrong with that? I ask you, think about it. I want you to think about this real, real hard, because it is real. You know, sometimes we can complicate things to the extent that they make no sense. And so then we start creating almost imagined impossibilities around what to do about a thing. What could go wrong if you and I decided, if I needed some shoe brush, if I needed some toothpaste, if I needed my glass cleaned, if I needed my car repaired, that we would just use something we call rock between us? And it's not gonna be actual physical rocks. We just say we get somebody who knows how to do these things digitally using a blockchain, and we say, listen, let's call what we're gonna use the block rock, right? And we just use the block rock. So when I need my haircut, I say, well, somebody I started. Somebody then generates X amount of block rocks in the system. And you can't create new block rock without all of us knowing. We have to verify it. And so when I go get my haircut, you know, the problem is, when I need to start out with some block rocks, what do I do? I have a problem. Unless I can give something tangible or in the way of service so that I can get sent to me that rock, I won't have any rock. Guess what? Somebody, the creators of the rock, have to then be the feeder of the rock. So where people talk about, oh, there's no centralization, that's bullcrap, because somebody had to create the rock. Somebody had to create the first set of rocks. Rocks didn't just come out of the sky, right? Once they create it and start distributing it, there's a ledger that we use to keep score between us. But why would the government be concerned about it if you decide to trade everything you want to trade, from haircuts to medical services to whatever, but doing it using your digitally created rock, but cannot use and do not use fiat currency? We're going to take a break as you mull on that, because when we come back, I'm going to tell you why this is so important. It's an economic perspective on this FTX cryptocurrency scenario. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Mr. Campbell, we have your test results. Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Good news. No, wait, bad news. Give it to me straight, doctor.
Your blood work came back. You've got erythrocytes. All over.
Oh no, this can't be happening.
Here's the good news. That just means red blood cells. It's a good thing. You're completely fine.
With 99% of medical claims paid in 5 days, we're like a doctor who doesn't want to be a comedian. CG Atlantic, medical in life. Good like that.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies. Gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Ask the question, what if we decided to simply use some digitally created rocks to be our medium of exchange between us? The caveat is we'd never use a fiat currency in our system, never. No dollar, no Bahamian dollar, no US dollar, no euro. Only our digitally created rock. What's the problem with that? Now, let's suppose this spreads to really a large part of the world now, all gets involved with this rock. And all of a sudden, less and less fiat currency is being used. Less and less fiat currency is being used. To buy and sell things. Even the big companies start using the rock. What would be the problem? What's the issue? No fiat currency being used. No, none whatsoever. What would be the problem? Why would the government be concerned about that? They're not using my US dollar? They're not, what? They're not, they're using, what? This digital rock? What? Why would the government be concerned about that? Its dollar keeps piling up in the banks, piling up. Nobody's using it much. It's piling up. What would be the problem there? Firstly, right? It would only be a problem in quote in terms of the government even thinking about it if the rock became that popular a medium of exchange where the Walmarts and the Home Depots and the TJ Maxx and the Marshalls and the Olive Gardens and the Kentucky Fried Chickens and all of these things abroad start using them. Here at home, all your bamboo shacks and all your Kellys and all your AIDs and all of them start using the rock. The government said, well, the central bank said, well, listen, the Bahamian dollar ain't moving. The U.S. dollar ain't moving. What's the problem? What's the problem? I'm building up U.S. dollars. They're not being used. So my one-to-one dollar exchange remains really solid, but ain't nobody really using it. You know, what's the problem? What's the challenge? I'll get to the challenge of it for the government's point of view, but I want you to see a more basic issue here, which is this. Don't tell me you can't regulate cryptocurrency. Because maybe the way to regulate it is not to regulate it at all. to an extent. What do I mean by that? If people decide between themselves on a distributed ledger to use a digitally generated currency, and that they could only use that currency to buy goods and services between themselves, if the government passes a law that says you cannot use a digital currency, you cannot use a fiat currency for, you cannot use a fiat currency for any of these transactions you're using your digital currency for. You cannot. Cannot. There's no, you can't buy digital tokens using fiat currency. And you can't sell digital currency in exchange for fiat currency. You cannot. You cannot. It's not, you can't do it. There's no commingling of the digital currency and the fiat currency. If the government said that, what's the problem? What's the issue? Go trade all the digital currency you want. Use it as much as you want. What's the problem? Just don't get my currency involved. Because you see, that's where the problem lies, right? Or if this were the case, right now, what I'm talking about with FTX, would any investor be concerned? Would any investor have lost money? They wouldn't have, certainly wouldn't have lost fiat money. Would any investor be crying for fiat money? What they'd be crying for is, but I gave you this service. But I gave you this product. Yeah, but you did that in a system where you contracted amongst yourselves to do X, Y, and Z. When a company is contracted to do something and fails to meet its obligation, what happens? You have a civil suit. If somebody steals something from somebody, what happens? You call the police, but you don't, the system ain't get touched. It's only when you involve fiat currency, the state-issued currency, which is a part of an economic system, a financial system that undergirds the global trade, that you really have an issue. But if you put a Chinese wall between that digital currency and the fiat currency, what is there to regulate? You then are only regulating human behavior. Be honest. You're not honest. You get sued or you get sent, you go to the police. This is your closed system. You decided this is how you want trade. Does anyone see what I'm saying? Tell me, please, before I go on. Seriously, I'm serious. Tell me if you see what I'm saying. Otherwise, I'll have to slow down and say it again. Please, if you're listening today, I know you're listening. Lots of y'all are listening. Tell me if you understand the point that I just made. Anyone? Chinese wall between fiat currency and digital currency. You want to use digital currency to go buy a car, carry right on. Just do not get my fiat currency involved. So you can't go to no bank talking, but you want $100,000 because you ain't gonna buy a token. No, you can't do it. And if you're discovered doing that, you get charged with laundering money. And you get prosecuted. Somebody say, not quite. Really? Wow, okay. Okay, let me see. Okay. Let me see if I can say it again then. Lord of mercy. Okay. Let me see. I mean, think about it right now. Let's look at FTX. Why are there people who are saying they are losing money? What does that mean? Tell me what that means. Why are some investors saying they lost their money? They're saying that because they used US dollars, Bahamian dollars, to buy these digital tokens. That's what they did. Now that the company has collapsed, what do they want? They don't want the tokens because they still have the tokens. They still have their monies in that account. They want their cash. They want the US billion dollars that they put in. But I am saying, what if the law made it illegal to have used US dollars and Bahamian dollars to buy the token to begin with? If you wanted those tokens, go give them a piece of land. Go give them your car. Go give them your Rolex watch. Do it. Whatever you do, that's your business. But do not use the state-issued currency. What if that happened? Would anybody be crying the day they lost money? Would anyone in FTX be crying that they lost money? Anyone? Some people might be saying, I lost my property. I lost my car. But, you know. But I wouldn't be saying I lost my cash. Now, if you went ahead and took your cash and bought a car to go and trade into FTX, and that's a different story. Now, what FTX would be doing with your car is beyond me. But you do see that there wouldn't be this speculative trading of tokens under that scenario, because the only reason you would want to have a token is to have a real need or demand met by a real supplier of that demand. You wouldn't have people around you thinking, oh, the price of this can go up, the price of the token can go up, the price of the token can go up. No, that wouldn't be the issue. It would be, again, about what the token can do in purchasing real world products and services, not speculation around making money because people think that this thing can make money. And then when something happens, it collapses down to nothing. Because the trading, which is what the cryptocurrency was supposed to be in the first instance, the cryptocurrency was supposed to be around being able to use as an alternative to fiat currency, digital currency as a medium of exchange and not involving the central government. That's what it was supposed to be in the first place. All right, so you got it, I hope. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. BTC would like to advise customers that we have commenced a disconnection exercise. BTC has easy and convenient ways to pay your bill with MyBTC app, online banking, BTC virtual store, FastPay, or call us at 225-5282 to stay connected with BTC. So, does anyone see a problem with a scenario in which the state says, listen, it is illegal to purchase digital tokens with fiat currency? Illegal. You say, well, that's a bit extreme. Well, okay, let's moderate it then. Because there is an example of this. Let me ask you, Bahamians, can you today simply go and legally purchase a foreign stock or bond? Can you legally do that today? No, you can't just simply do it. You can go through the central bank to do it. Their investment pool, right? Or through a registered broker-dealer. So how about we say, if you want to purchase a digital asset, a cryptocurrency, you have to go through the central bank's exchange control, or a registered broker-dealer to do so. Now what we come up against is, who is you? And the guy who wants to sell you the token, well, he can't sell you the token unless he registered. And then you can't buy the token unless you go through a process. And so now we've got a regulated set of trades. Guess what's going to happen? It ain't going to be the same robust people milking people for money, getting money all over the place, cash here, cash there, all over the place, just running wild with cash. Won't happen. It won't happen. No. The things got to be things. I have another question for you all, actually. Sam Bankman-Fried was buying up all this property and stuff in the Bahamas, right? Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX... they're foreigners, non-Bahamians. In order to make those acquisitions, especially if they were over 5 acres or they were commercial properties, under the International Persons Landholding Act, they would have had to go through the investment board to get approval to do so. Did they? I don't know. Maybe the properties were under 5 acres. When you do a commercial acquisition, you have to state all the purposes for which the commercial acquisition was being made for. What's the business? What's the projection of employment and all that kind of stuff? What did that happen? I don't know. I'm told was he a resident or a permanent resident? Sam Bankman-Fried. Was he a resident or permanent resident? I'm not sure. I saw in a written something where he said he was a permanent resident, but where he said he was a resident. Now, you could have an annual residence permit, so that's a permit to reside, But you could have permanent residency, which means essentially you can move in and out and be in the country for as long as you want. But you got to stay from, you know, you got to have, you know, generally speaking, we say you have to have a home or something of that nature. I mean, that's according to the rules. That's not the law, but according to the rules, that's a rewrote the law. I'm not entirely clear on that. But permanent residency means something different. And let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. Generally speaking, permanent residencies take a long time to get in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So if Sam Bankman-Fried has permanent residency, he got an especially expedited application. Trust me when I tell you that. Them things take long. I don't think they should take long, but I can tell you from my years of being in the government of the Bahamas, they take long. And it doesn't matter how wealthy the person is, they could still be waiting. In the shortest instance, maybe 10, 12 months, but in many instances, 2, 3, 4 years, it could take long. So if he is a permanent resident, he got an especially good accommodation to be able to do that. Right? But you got to go, you know, so if you want to, in quote, regulate tokens, again, why would I have a problem if you can and are willing to exchange goods and services for these tokens? Where I have a problem, where the problem arises is when you start exchanging the token for state-issued cash money. Now, that's where the problem arises. And that's where the problem has always arisen around cryptocurrencies, whether it could be used for money laundering, for these fraudulent activities. That was always one of the concerns. Right? But, I mean, like, what's a cryptocurrency? It's a medium of exchange. Well, if the state has a medium of exchange that is state sanctioned and backed by the state, if I want to safeguard that against a closed off system that told me they don't want to have nothing to do with me, they want to be about their decentralized distributive ledger safer system, then I should oblige them. Oblige them by saying it is illegal to purchase a cryptocurrency using state currency. Illegal. That's what you can do. You can, that's how the government say, you can't be buying no marijuana around the place. You can't be buying cocaine, heroin, or any legal drug around the place. You can't be buying prescription drugs without a prescription. Well, you can't buy no cryptocurrency without permission. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We listen to you.
Hey, Brother Shivago. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. Yourself?
Awesome. I'm doing great as well.
You following this dialogue?
Yeah, man. I'm following it very well. And that's why I'm prompted to call. I just want to ask you two very quick questions. And then sure, I'll hang sure. up. I want to hear your input on it.
Okay.
A person who is a resident or a permanent resident, mm-hmm. are they firstly allowed to vote in our country?
Never.
The second one would be
not legally. They can only vote illegally.
Okay, and then thanks for answering that, because that has been a question that's been asked for quite some time, and I don't think anyone really came out seriously and answered that question. And the second question tied to that would be: would that person also be able to give donations to any particular political party in the guise of sponsoring them? Because then we also look at the aspect of probably political favors, should that government win or whatever. That's also a question that's out there. Thanks for taking my call, Shivago.
Yeah, no problem. Firstly, anyone can donate to a political party in the Bahamas because we have no campaign finance laws in the Bahamas. none. Right? So any foreigner, any international person, any resident, any non-resident, any citizen, any non-citizen can donate to a political party if they wish without any breach of any law. Okay? Now, you can't give me money and say when you get into office, do you have to do this for me? That's a bribe. So you can't do that. No, so nobody does that. Nobody says, I'm giving you this money so that when my application form comes in, you can do this and you will do this for me, etc. I mean, any political party or any political personality who does that is just stupid as hell. Who participates in that kind of dialogue, just stupid as hell. Okay, that's just nonsense. That's against the law. That's a bribe. Okay? What you can, but anybody can donate to the political parties or political candidates in the Bahamas without fear of any kind of prosecution, because we do not have campaign finance laws that prohibit any such thing. We think about campaign finance laws only in the context of foreigners, but the truth of the matter is campaign finance laws can relate to your citizens too, such that Bahamian business people can be limited in how much they can give to any political candidate or party. Bahamian citizens, whether they are business people or not, can be limited in how much they can give to any political party. That's the whole point of campaign finance laws, is it restricts how much you can give, so your influence can be limited. But even though they have campaign finance laws in the United States of America, people still get around that. And so people still have the ability to say, listen, look at what I did in supporting and assisting your campaign, because they can do it through these third parties and through their employees and all kinds of stuff, man. Right? So people find ways. Campaign finance makes it harder. And so I would support it, but I mean, don't let nobody fool you. Doesn't stop the influential from being influential using their money. Because people don't have to do anything for you. They don't have to directly contribute to your campaign. They can contribute to causes that people know you are associated with, and therefore you get the influence by virtue of your ability to have gotten them to do things for this entity or group that you are interested in their support. Okay? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news, and then when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down. Take a stand, everybody.
gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give me a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, "Hi, Mr. Lang, Minister Lang, I am listening as usual, and it is my understanding that Mr. Sam Bankman-Fried was granted permanent residence with the right to work. This was an expedited process." Okay. Of course, you can always confirm with the Minister of Labor and Immigration, Mr. Keith Bell, or the Director, Keturah Ferguson, or ADOI. Okay. And this says, or OC in charge of permanent resident citizenship, Monarch House. And by the way, permanent residents are sometimes now approved in less than 1 month. Thank you for continuing to inform us and educate us. That's great. I've advocated for that to be the case. And yes, people who invest significantly in the country do get accelerated consideration for permanent residency. So yeah, I mean, you will still concede though that, as I said, you know, it had to have been an expedited something, because I know today. Folk who have had outstanding applications and are really up against it. I know what my experience was like, and I know it continues to happen today, but yes, there are expedites. So Sam Bankman-Fried would not be the only person, and he certainly could be in it and could have been in a scenario where an expedited consideration could have been made for him. And yes, you know, you can get permanent residency consideration in a couple of days if you want, if the government is minded to do so. This says GB Airport, third quarter 2023 sounds sketchy again, but I will take it. Third quarter for what though? Did I miss some news? I may have. Someone asked me earlier today what I was tired doing. The day was rough. I was running out of the day. Doing the Christmas thing. Yeah, I was. The news said so. Hey, that said what though? I missed it. I may have missed it. Said that it's going to be completed, started. What? Which? What? Which one? Started, completed. Says, y'all keep telling me Grandmama Airport, but if there's news today about it, I missed it. So I don't know what it said, that it would start in the third quarter, it'd be finished in the third quarter. I don't see any chance in hell that any significant airport would be completed in the third quarter, maybe started. Right? I could see that maybe started, if that's the key, if that's the thing, yeah. Somebody asked me about that today. Oh, a name purchaser by then? Oh, name purchaser? Really? Okay, I mean, I can believe that. I can believe that that's possible. Yeah, I can believe that that's possible. That wouldn't surprise me that is possible. Says, people donate with their initiative in mind, Loam at NIGARD and the stem cell legislation, that they call it lobbying, but it's legal bribes. Well, it can't be a legal bribe because a bribe is illegal. So it can't be a legal bribe. It could be influence peddling. It could be influence, you know, but it can't be a bribe. Bribe is illegal, right? We have some text here, let me get to. Okay, this text says, So rocks or shingles can be a developed medium of exchange. Yes, shingles. You could use conch shells. You could use anything that we agree we want to use as a medium of exchange, we can agree to use. Now, again, they could be clumsy. It could be very difficult to use, et cetera, but we could agree it. And if we agree it, that's it. This says, good day, Shivago, but how would the government get its VAT? Wouldn't the government's cut have to be calculated and converted to fiat? A cut of what? A cut of what? First of all, the people, actually, it's a good question, right? If you're buying from somebody, the government don't have no interest in that you traded between yourselves using some other medium of exchange. The VAT is due, and the VAT is due in currency. So if all of your payment is in token, how you get currency for the government is your business, but you can't trade the currency for no fiat money. So you better find other ways to have fiat money. You better have other customers who provide you with fiat money, right? So, but it's not the government's business how you pay this VAT in fiat currency. Just don't do it illegally. This text is with Shivago. Like I said before, all goods and services traded have to pay government taxes in fiat currencies. So I just explained that. So even if you pay for a service in rocks, you would still have to use fiat to pay government. So you could lose fiat money from doing business in rocks. That's your business. That's your concern to take up. Now you see the complications that get created when you say that you can't use my fiat currency, right? But that's their business. That's all we know is you sold X amount of items, the fiat currency value of which is $200. There's a 10% VAT due. Could I have my $20 in fiat money? That's your responsibility. How you get it is irrelevant. Has nothing to do with me. That's like saying, well, dealing drugs is illegal. Someone goes into a store to purchase items. The VAT still do. The VAT still do. Right? Now, if I catch you dealing drugs, and the money is known to have been dealt with drugs, then now I can seize your money, and arrest you and all that kind of stuff. But paying the VAT, that's on you. It's your job. Find me my fiat money. This text says there are a myriad of things that the rock economy would need to find fiat currencies for. Doing business license, national insurance, stamp tax, paying for government services, all these things would need to be paid in fiat, while people in this rock economy only get paid in rocks. Exactly. Exactly. Now, but you see what it will do to the rock economy, though. In fact, thank you very much. I think you guys are getting, you're seeing it, which is, this notion that somehow you can operate in a state and not need the state and not be involved with the state is absolute nonsense. But you can create a scenario in which a segment of your society, well, you can create a scenario in which you can agree amongst yourself a way to trade that doesn't involve the state, but as long as you don't involve the state's currency, then the state doesn't have to worry and be overly concerned about you being a negative contagion on its financial system. The state wants trade. It does. It wants buying and selling because it wants businesses to stay in power, to be able to employ people and all that kind of stuff. Now, the people you employ, you can trade all the rock you want. The people who get employed may want fiat currency. And you'll have to supply them a fiat currency as long as you ain't getting that fiat currency from trading no tokens. Right? Or no rock. The text says, that's exactly what I thought when I heard about the amount of real estate that was purchased. So the government or state-owned enterprise had to have known about the mass amounts of property being purchased. Of course. Unless there was no registering or application made, which would mean that it would have been in breach of the law. Right? That's what it would mean. So I really was posing the scenario to get you to see how insidiously hypocritical exchanges are in respect of the very digital exchanges are in respect of the very thing that they are exchanging or facilitating the exchange of, which is digital currency, because they are doing what they're doing for the most part for fiat currency, trading, allowing for the trade of something that's trying to get away from fiat currency, that people are buying into using fiat currency and hoping that if the stuff hit the ceiling, that they can get out of with their fiat currency. When if they really were authentically committed to the system that they believe in, that has all this, that has all of this promise, they would want to keep that as closed and away from the government as possible. They would want to make sure the government will have nothing to do with me. Leave the government currency alone. Leave the government system alone. While cryptocurrency was out there trading just amongst themselves, people trading amongst themselves, nobody was talking about no government at the time. And the government didn't really have any real concerns. It wasn't their listing blow up and people started wanting to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars at a time, resulting in multiple billions and billions of dollars. And you know, it don't take corporate long before it starts lusting after things that making money, boy. Because then all of a sudden, I started getting people texting me, sending me videos, sending me articles about this big name bank or company that's going to invest in cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, and this one that's going to invest in it, and the next one that's going to invest in it. It didn't take long before that started happening. And then all of a sudden, people want to create, you know what, this getting clumsy for this trade. Let's create an exchange. You know what, let's create a hedge fund around this. I mean, think about it. The hedge funds and exchanges have nothing to do with the basic fundamental intent of cryptocurrencies. Nothing. Do you think that the designers of cryptocurrency really intended cryptocurrency to be a speculative investment mechanism? Versus they were trying to create something that was an alternative to fiat currency, did not require central banks, would therefore remove banks as intermediaries in the process to reduce all those fees that you get from having to use banks and all that kind of stuff, because you could now have people doing direct safe interactions with each other that didn't even have to trust each other anymore because of the nature of the ledger. They didn't have to trust. They didn't have to wonder whether you were reliable or not. It didn't matter, because once you gave them a token, that token could be traced on the blockchain, verified on the blockchain, and they were secured in that. These people were trying to get away from that to use very small fees for these transactions. And guess what happened? The buggers then decided, oh, let's help these people do what they do and charge them big fees so we can make tens of billions and billions of dollars. Seriously? But that's the nature of capitalist societies. We find an opportunity in everything. People dying of cancer, it's an opportunity. People dying, it's an opportunity. That's the nature of capitalist societies. That's the nature of capitalism. That's the nature of free enterprise. Everything becomes an opportunity. Armed robbery goes up. That's an opportunity to sell security supplies. That's the nature of things, right? People are thirsting to death because water is limited. It's a way to sell water. That's the nature of things. So the cryptocurrency as a basic thought around an alternative to fiat currency for trading is not a problem whatsoever. I have no difficulty with it. It's not new in history. It only new as to the modality being digital, but it's not new. It's as old as trading sex, as a medium of exchange, as trade money, coins, pebbles, gold, silver. It's just as old as all those things. Only this time it involved this thing that exists only in the digital sphere. And people, some people, as their minds just got around and say, you know what? This bug over here who want to buy, and that bug over there who want to sell, but they don't know each other. And they don't want to trust the Bitcoin, the ledger. They just want to make money. I'm going to bring them together. And by the way, this bug over here has his coin trading for $2. But that same coin trading over in China for $4. I'm going to buy this coin over here for $2, sell it in China for $4, and make $2 for myself. Boom, 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 boom. All that, nothing to do with the Bitcoin, nothing to do with the basic reality of Bitcoin, of cryptocurrency. Nothing. Just now all about making money. Making what kind of money? Coins? No, making fiat currency money. To do what? Buy Lamborghinis and penthouses and great vacations and thousands of dollars in fine dining experiences and living the life of Riley, doing what? Spending fiat currency made off of what? Token trading. This is life. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Have you heard about Janae's Chesapeake Road 5 days of Christmas give back? Get up to 20% off your toys or bicycles, electronic ride-on cars, four-wheelers, and motor tricycle purchases. All electrical item sales are final. Bring in a current year Janae's back-to-school purchase receipt, valued more than $50, excluding VAT, and get an additional 10% off. Restrictions apply, and don't forget the Christmas decorations, balls, and ornaments. Janae's Chesapeake Road's 5 days of Christmas give back, going on now. Extended store hours till 7 p.m. Hurry in and get more bang for your bucks.
This is Dwight Strawn with Morning Blend. On behalf of the crew and my co-hosts, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and an incredibly blessed and prosperous New Year.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take.
gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I went into the food store. I'm just going to say a food store. And this was in Grand Bahama. I went into a food store. And in the food store, a dozen eggs, the cheapest price for a dozen eggs was $8 and something cents. A dozen eggs. The highest price was $13 and something cents. I think they were for organic eggs. A dozen eggs. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 days of Christmas eggs. $8. $8. Now, I'm going to give you all a lesson. I said, there's not a possible chance I'm going to buy them eggs. I know of a store that I'm sure will not have the eggs for $8 and something cents. And I went to that store and I bought me a dozen eggs. In fact, I bought me two dozen eggs for $4.80 each. $4.80 each. $8 and something cents for a dozen eggs? Listen, man, I mean, like, what is eggs doing on the market, international marketplace? $8 and something. Listen, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I would call the store name, but I ain't calling the store name. Listen to me. Store, people was walking through your aisles saying something right, man. They were like, what the devil is this, the price? I bought my food. I bought my grocery from you, store. I did. But oh, the prices. Now, I just decided, well, okay, I ain't gonna get that much of that. I need that. I want that. It's Christmas time, so I can get that. Somebody tell me, say the same in Nassau. You must be in the same store. $8 and something cents for a dozen eggs, Trey. I ain't gonna lie. Oh, and this person gave me the name of a store that's different than the name of the store I've been in. So you see, this is a thing. But the store I've been in, listen, let me tell you something. The store I've been in, I shop at that store regularly. The store is not a big, huge store like these chains. It is not. It's a very clean, well-stocked, well-run store. And I go inside there and I always find that they have very good prices on some things. Very good. I ain't gonna lie. Very good prices on some things. And so I go there very often. But as I was shopping, I was thinking to myself, I thank God for the privilege he has afforded me, I do, to be able to more comfortably than not do some things. Not always comfortable, but more comfortably than not do some things. I thank God. I'm not joking. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. But I was thinking to myself, why folk who are living on a more meager income, a more modest income, what do they have to contend with? Seriously, dude, listen to me. Eggs for $8 plus? Eggs? At one point, I was walking through the aisle and I saw a Kraft and a box of Kraft and I ain't gonna lie to you, right? I look and I saw like $3 and something. I said, man, no, man, my eye got to be deceiving me. And then I didn't go and really check it. So I walked further. And I was like, but in my head, I was thinking $3 for Kraft dinner, a box of Kraft dinner. Y'all remember when Kraft dinner, a box of Kraft dinner was 75 cents? Y'all know your boy is a shopper, right? And been shopping long. Been shopping a long time. Know myself, before marriage, after marriage. I was shopping. I was in the food store. I know prices in the food store. Mommy, I lie. Kraft macaroni and cheese, a box of them used to be 75 cents. So when I saw the $3 and some cents, I was like, what? But then as I went on, it was a dollar something. It wasn't $3 and something. But after I saw the price of eggs, I wasn't surprised. My daughter was with me. We went and we walked past the fruit aisle. And she looked at the grapes. She said, Daddy, you saw the price of them grapes? I said, yeah. I saw the price of those grapes. And she studies in Florida. So, you know, she's comparing them prices to prices in Florida. Of course, she knows it can't be the same thing. Yeah, but still. I saw another item today in the food store. Let me see. It was a ham. Now, this ham, typically, if we had gotten those hams back in several years ago, it was a nice size ham. Maybe you pay $23 for that ham. Guess how much the ham was? $51 and something cents. $51 and something cents for the ham. The outcome, the U.S. could freeze the assets and documents of FTX if the company had headquarters in the Bahamas. What do you mean? Well, first of all, it's not a question of where you headquartered. It's a question of where are your assets. If your assets are in the U.S., United States of America, they can freeze it. And if they get the cooperation of another jurisdiction because they submit documentation to reflect the prospect of criminal activity, then they can get them to freeze it for you, for them, as you can get them to freeze it for you. So it's not a question of where you headquarter. Headquarters has nothing to do with it. It's where your assets are, and it's whether or not there is suspicion that those assets may be a part of some criminal enterprise. And I heard somebody actually on one show speaking to something similar, in which they were saying that the Bahamas government froze Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX's assets and yet didn't charge him. Well, that's not the point of freezing. In fact, freezing doesn't happen after you get charged. Freezing happens when there is a suspicion, reasonable suspicion, that those assets may be part of some criminal undertaking. And so the freezing allows you to be able to do the investigation that might verify that criminal undertaking, but avoid the person being able to move those assets such that they then now are no longer capable of being controlled if the criminal enterprise is in fact proven. That's why you go to the court and you give enough evidence, not rationale, to the courts for the courts to say, yes, go ahead and freeze it, because what you're trying to do is to prevent further damage if in fact this enterprise that you suspect is engaged in criminal activity is engaged in criminal activity. So that's nothing to do with being charged. When you get charged and convicted, it's not a question then now of freezing. It's a question then of confiscation, if that is a provision in the law. Okay? You know, we second guess a lot of things. But let me tell you something, man. The state is not always right. The institutions are not always right. But listen to me, man. More often than not, they understand exactly what the hell they're doing. They do. Right? And you and me sitting down, I'm sharing it, trying to figure it out like we so smart, these people so dumb. Listen, man, these people study what they do. They have been practicing this stuff for a long time. So they're not stupid. They're not always right. They can get it wrong, but they're not stupid. There are mechanisms that are rooted in decades and decades of precedents and laws and standards, right? So these folks are not dumb. It's Texas. I haven't picked up the courage to buy ham and turkey. Okay, let me see what did I pay today? In total, I paid about $46 for ham and turkey together. That was my hit today. $46 between the two items. Which wasn't bad, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't bad. I could have paid more because I could have bought that $50 arm. There's a person telling me impossible. You telling me what I did today? You telling me what I did today? I'm telling you what I did. Not guessing. Say impossible. First of all, don't think I'm going to buy the size ham you bought. Right? Because I have a small family, right? So I don't need no huge ham. And ham isn't really a real big deal for us, right? So you spend the money on a turkey. Say, I buy a Cornish hen. I must have. I buy no Cornish hen. Not today. Yeah, and Grand Bahama. Again, like I said, right? If the turkey is $30-something dollars and I'm buying a small ham, you figure it out. Right? Don't tell me what I buy. You live in Nassau, man. You can't put your Nassau price on me. So, but you could easily pay $60, $70, $80, $90 for the two of them, depending on what you're going to do. And a lot of us are big eye. We don't think about all the ham we have left over after Christmas. We don't know what to do with it. Now, I could find 10,000 things to do it. All right, same thing with turkey. And some of us, you know, we brandish. So we got to buy a certain kind of turkey and so forth and so forth. Me, I can make it work. Soak that turkey overnight in, let me give you all the recipe. So you gotta jerk that turkey up. My mommy teach me this, right? You gotta poke that up, right? That allows your Zaria, bring that turkey for me. This person trying to tell me I buy Cornish hen. You gotta put that in a big pot, water with all your seasonings in it. I'm helping out some of y'all for the rest of y'all generations now. With all that seasons, and you just leave that there. You know what the seasonings are, right? Anyway, I ain't tell y'all my family secret. And you leave that right there. Let that soak overnight until you're ready to put that in the big cup. That water, that seasoned water, get all through the flesh of that turkey. So you buy Cornish hen mustard. All right, I can eat that Cornish hen on Christmas Day then. Say, last year my pressure shot up and Doc said it was the ham. So be careful. Yeah, dude, can't be eating too much ham. You know, you gotta eat in some moderation. But you know, you could do something about all that salt you can eat during Dingham. Drink plenty of water. Flush off some of that. So as I was walking through, I really honestly was listening to people, I was watching people, and I just noticed that, you know, there was a lot of commentary on the price of things. In fact, I was in that same store, and some tourists were moving through, and I not surprisingly. The tourists were commenting, and boy, they was having a field day. Of course, you know where they're from. They got millions and millions of people that they can make money off, and so the scaling can give them much better pricing. But boy, they had some sticker shock from the pricing that they saw, and that didn't surprise me. But boy, I wondered today. So again, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, uncle, auntie, do what you could do here. Yeah? Do what you could do. Don't put your head. Don't you feel bad. Don't you let nobody stress you out, press you for that which you cannot do. You do what you could do. Yeah? You do what you could do. Because you're more important than all the eating and drinking around Christmas that could happen. You and your family. Y'all are more important. Enjoying each other and cherishing each other and connecting with each other and, you know, bigging up each other and helping each other get by some of the stresses and strains of the year. And to understand, to realize, and be aware of what makes this whole life more enjoyable is the connections we can make with each other and the connection we can make with God's nature. And I know it ain't easy seeing people spin and spruce up and do this, and while you are more constrained in what you can do. I know that. I know that's not easy. I won't pretend that that's easy. But just because it ain't easy doesn't mean it can't be done. Doesn't mean that you can't say, you know what? Hey, I am not trying to chase that rabbit. I'm not chasing that rabbit down no hole. I am not going to be able to get out come January 3rd. Not doing it. When you see Tuesday come, I'm going to say, okay, I did what I could do. We had a good time. You know, wasn't as good as I had wanted it in some material ways, but we had a good time. And I'm good to go. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, we will finish up. We'll be back after this break. Take a
step. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with a RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Juan McCartney, and I am wishing you and your family all the happiness in the world this holiday season and all of God's abundant blessings in the new year. Here's to hoping you have a great 2022.
Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. This person says, my family I don't eat ham for the same reason, too salty. My family, I love ham, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't eat it a lot, but I love it. My family cook curry chicken, fried chicken to go along with the turkey. Okay, I could have curry any day. I see the prime minister's indicated that the government has no preference for where Bankman-Fried is tried. And I could see that, right? Why, you know, I mean, actually, I would have a preference. I mean, I think that our system could capably deal with him if he were charged before the courts. But we have to remember, as far as I'm aware, his process before the courts was facilitated by a supposed request by the U.S. for that to happen. I am not aware of an independent determination of the Bahamas that Bankman-Fried was in breach of the law and therefore arrested on the basis of that said breach to be tried before our courts for some violation of our laws. I'm not aware of that. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't the case, but I'm not aware of anyone saying that Bankman-Fried was being held and charged by our police and our prosecutors for violating Bahamian law. It is true that in facilitation of the request made by the U.S., it would have had to be in the case that what he is charged for in the U.S. should be a criminal offense here, I believe, but I'm not aware that he was charged for anything. So whether we have a preference for him being dealt with here or there is irrelevant because we didn't charge him with nothing. Right, but I can see how it is to the Bahamas' advantage for him to be dealt with in the U.S. in so many ways. Right, you violated your law. You are short of that. You asked for him to be arrested. You go ahead and prosecute him. I could see why that would make some sense. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, good afternoon.
Compliments to the season.
Same to you, my friend.
Yes, sir. In regard to your discussion about the rocks and all these other things,
uh-huh.
and the reference to bartering and all that, and the evolution of...
You did get my point that that's not bartering, right? The rock.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Good, but I'm mentioning that as in form of the transition along the way.
Right.
Do exchanges.
Right. Right. Just wanted to make sure because I want to make sure people understand.
Yes, sir. I got you.
Good. Super.
Down the road, it's been a long time since the economic theories and the exchange and so on and so forth. So this new, the currency or this new form of transaction, it's a revolution. It's new to our era, to our generation. Do you see...
My question is,
do you see fiat disappearing? We're talking about paperless and money, make paperless transaction and electronic transaction. Do you see this fiat thing, this paper currency?
Not anytime soon at all. I couldn't say it can't happen, but I don't see any replacement of fiat currency in the next 20, 30 years.
Okie dokie. I have some other questions. Hard questions. You come next week.
Okay. No problem.
Take care. Thank you.
You too, my friend. Take care. All right. Yeah. I don't see it. I see digital forms of transactions, perhaps even currency, digital currencies making some headway in terms of wider and wider and wider acceptance. In fact, I think that what people are doing around the currency is actually impeding its ability to fulfill the objective that was set for it. I think they're actually hindering it from becoming more and more and more acceptable. I really do. Because they're causing people to conflate criminal activity, greedy behavior with this technology intended to make decentralized exchanges more readily available. So I think they're setting it back. The actual technology of digital assets is being set back in terms of cryptocurrencies by this, as opposed to aiding it. And all you need now is for Binance to fall or some other thing, and boom, shakalaka. You know, the other day I saw something that said that Blackstone, most people don't know about Blackstone, but Blackstone is a humongous hedge fund. Right? And I understand that they were being investigated or sought by the SEC because they had delayed, I think it was, some withdrawal of customer funds. I mean, this is a huge company, right? And, you know, if that's true, they all about, I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars in assets. You know, so I think that a lot of these things happening around the crypto technology is going to set it back as a legitimate alternative to fiat currency. And now more and more people, I hear Bahamians now who were all excited about crypto, all excited, starting to back right off now, back off. They got the FTX slap down. And I think that that's going to happen for a little bit. Until if the crypto market comes under central regulation, cryptocurrencies will fade as a thing of enthusiasm. It will fade. It will make slow and steady progress toward a more legitimate acceptance into the financial system, but it will fade as an investment scheme, as a get-rich-quick scheme. It will fade as something to bring massive returns if it comes under state control. Because under state control, these people who are selling these glorious stories about cryptocurrencies will be held in check and not be able to sell them stories as they do widely anymore. You wouldn't get no Shaq, no Steph Curry in them promote. It won't happen because people be held to account for the stories that they're telling a little bit more closely. So state regulation of cryptocurrency will bring that market right in check. You always see banks in the Bahamas and elsewhere in the world running up and down, promising people humongous returns. Anyway, you see any commercial banks doing that? Huh? Putting out there all kind of speculative this and speculative that, so that you could go there and put your money on deposit, and then they go use your money for all kind of things and purposes. Anybody? No? No? Of course not. Of course not. Why? Because they're regulated, not heavily regulated. You say they were regulated, FTX is regulated in the Bahamas too, Bill. Yes. but not like banks are regulated, not like insurance companies are regulated. No, siree, under the DARE Act, you're not regulated like when you're regulated under the Securities Act of the Bahamas. Under the Financial Corporate Service Providers Act, no. No, sir. Under the Trust Act, not so. Y'all ever try opening up an account in the Bahamas? You see what you have to do to open up an account in the Bahamas? The FTX was the subject of that. No, sorry. Try opening up a bank in the Bahamas? Apply to the central bank to open up a bank? You would be shocked to know who could try to apply to open up a bank in the Bahamas and will not get that license. Not when the central bank finished with you. See, any trust license? You want to be a securities broker in the Bahamas? Oh, you think that's simple? Okay. You want to be a money transfer? Oh, okay. Work that out. Not so easy, not so simple. And there's a reason why we say we're a well-regulated jurisdiction. It's because it's true in respect of all those things. So my own suspicion is that it'll be a while before we see another bubble arising because of cryptocurrencies. In the meantime, you'll notice Bitcoin and them just sitting there. Just sitting there, quiet. Ain't getting caught up in nothing. Just moving along. Bitcoin in December of last year was sitting at around $40,000+. Now sitting at around $16,000-$17,000 or thereabouts. A lot of reduced enthusiasm around these currencies. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us today. If God spares life and all goes well, we shall talk to you again tomorrow. Christmas is coming. It's coming that day. A precious day is coming. Y'all have a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.